had wardrobe malfunctions, moments when our clothes badly let us down. I'm Susanna Constantine and I've had... Oh, don't even get me started. I spent most of my life on the verge of a clothing calamity, and some of it caught bang in the epicentre of a major sartorial disaster, which is why it felt natural to return to the subject I love, and sometimes loathe, in the My Wardrobe Malfunction podcast. Each episode, I'll be talking to a very special guest about their relationship with clothes, the ups, the downs, and so much else. We'll discuss everything from their comfort blanket to their burial suit, and of course, hear about their ultimate wardrobe malfunction. But that's not all. I'd love to hear about your experiences with clothes. The wild, weird, the wonderful. I've already had some fantastic responses, stories, photos, even poems about your own clothing mishaps. Please keep them coming. In our pajama party section, I'll call the person with the most entertaining tale to reveal all. Email help@mywardmal.com or contact us at mywardmal to tell us more. But before that, let's go on to today's guest, the luscious, elusive Elizabeth Hurley, no less. This woman is harder to get hold of than the Yeti, but she has agreed to talk on my podcast. So I am absolutely thrilled to introduce the beautiful model, actress and businesswoman and mother of divine Damien. Please welcome Elizabeth. So let's grab her love handles, open my wardrobe doors and find out what's inside. I'm very excited. I'm with Elizabeth Hurley, who is possibly, I kind of don't want to say it, but it is the truth, one of the most beautiful women in the world. Even at the age of, what are you now, Elizabeth?
5'4".
54 years old, 5'8" in height, slim as a pin and gorgeous. Don't laugh. It's not. It's the truth.
It's a lovely introduction. Thank you, Susanna.
So, but just tell me quickly what you're wearing today.
Well, I'm a little scruffy today because I walked from my flat because I live around the corner.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing gym shoes, jeans,
gym shoes,
and a sweater.
Isn't it funny how you say gym shoes? It's such an old school thing to say.
Well, the reason I say that is because I've spent so much time in America where if you say trainers, they think you mean a dungaree set.
What?
Yes, trainers, they say sneakers.
Oh, it's sneakers.
Or shoes for gym shoes. Trainers are what kids wear when they're learning. It's like dungaree things, trainers.
That's so bizarre, because I always think of gym shoes as when we were at school.
Like plimsolls.
Plimsolls, yeah. You know what, I was trying to think on the way over, where did we first meet? Was it at Beaver?
No, I met you way before then.
I was remembering Beaver, which is this kind of house that belongs to a mutual friend of ours. And we had this rather kind of wonderful weekend. But I remember seeing you walking in and...
No, I was pregnant then.
Were you?
Yes.
Because I always remember your country attire was always tight jeans, fabulous high heel boots, and a 3-ply cashmere polo neck, roll neck sweater, probably from Alice Templey.
Well, nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed?
No.
You still
That's
wear...
That's still my uniform.
It is your uniform, yeah. Isn't it? Day to day.
Yeah, but with gym shoes.
I mean, I kind of wonder, how long can we wear that till, do you think? Because I'm the same. I'm jeans, nice sweater.
Well, I think it depends on your body type. I mean, some people actually don't look very good in jeans and have never worn jeans and wear skirts. I'm always very jealous when I see a girl in a skirt because I think it looks charming. But I haven't worn a skirt in the daytime since school uniform.
But you
ever.
Did.
I mean, for events, of course, I'm always in a dress and big shoes.
Yeah.
But I don't have skirts.
I agree.
Do you have skirts?
Well, no. I was looking at one today, actually, from Alexander McQueen, and I thought, maybe. And then I thought, I'll never wear it.
I quite like the look of those winter skirts, sort of 70s style.
Yeah.
Nice and slinky over the hip, quite long.
Yeah.
Getting fuller.
With boots.
But flat over the hip. With boots and a sweater, quite nice.
Yeah.
But it might make us look very old.
But that's the thing. I think skirts are matronly.
Yeah.
And especially if you've got boobs.
But not if you're young and you're in a summer dress with bare legs. And
yeah, then it's great.
Then they look beautiful.
Yeah, but we're not young.
And,
we're not.
And I never did that anyway.
Yeah, me neither.
I never did a summer dress floating in the breeze on Fulham Road. Though I love it when I see it out of the car window.
Mm. It's weird because, you know, knowing you, you really don't have that much interest in clothes. You are someone who genuinely, you know, people say, oh, I just throw the first thing on. You are genuinely, I think, someone who does that, aren't you?
I am in my real life.
Yeah.
But then in my business life, to be honest, I'm always dressed. by someone else. So I think maybe that's why I don't have too much interest in clothes, because so much of my work life is being fiddled with and having my hair done and my makeup done all day long and being dressed like a doll with someone zipping me up and doing up my shoes, that in real life it has no interest for me. Because, you know, you can go on for months standing there having your hair done. So it doesn't really interest me off duty.
But did it ever interest you? Do you ever?
Not really. My sister was always obsessed, but I never really was, to be honest. No.
But what about when you were younger? Because I remember some newspaper managed to kind of scrape up some photographs of you as a punk. Didn't you go through a punk phase?
But I wouldn't say I was obsessed with clothes. I used to make all my own clothes.
Did you really?
I'm an extremely good dressmaker. Yeah.
Shut
I made
up.
My sister's wedding dress.
What?
Yeah. I'm very good at sewing. I mean, I don't sew anymore now. But I can do it all. I used to do it. I used to make all my clothes when I was young.
That is astonishing.
Yeah. I can sew all to anything.
Really?
Do you I make my mum do it normally.
Do you have a sewing machine at home?
I do. I haven't used it, but yeah, I have it.
A Singer one, an old school one. Is it or is
it a Frista Ross one I got for my 16th birthday.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. That's amazing.
I know. Funny.
So your punk phase then must have been more of a rebellion than an interest in
I like the music and I lived in the suburbs. And of course, really, if we're talking about hipness, it was over by then. Because we missed it.
Yeah, we did, sadly.
This was the 80s. It was over, really. But in the suburbs, it was still going strong.
Yeah.
So I think it was more about the music.
Yeah.
But then when I moved to London when I was 18 to go to drama school, I thought I looked so cool. And I remember that my drama teacher walked in on day one. Lovely man who I'm still very good friends with came to my wedding. And he went, you look castable. And then just moved on. And I was like, oh, maybe it doesn't work here. That was the end of that.
And so what do you then move on to, clothes-wise?
Then,
punk
I was very poor, so it would have been whatever I could scrounge together, and I was probably still making most stuff myself.
Yeah.
And, of course, those days, not that we're that old, but that was really the days before good, cheap clothes, remember?
Oh, totally.
There weren't any. There was not C&A. I mean, there wasn't, so we wouldn't have been seen dead there.
There was nothing.
There was nothing. There was no Zara, there was no H&M, there was nothing. So there was nothing to wear, so you either had to sort of do offbeat your own thing, or you had to be incredibly wealthy, which I most certainly was not as a teenager. So, yeah, I guess that's when you sort of improvised, probably in retrospect, was more stylish then than we are now.
But then I look at our kids. I mean, I look at, you know, my girls. They would never be seen dead in kind of high street fashion.
They wear Zara?
No, they don't wear Zara.
I don't know.
They would rather go to charity or secondhand shop, thank God.
Which I never did.
Yeah, no, I never did.
I can't stand it.
But they are amazing. But then you look at something like Depop.
Full of moths.
And you buy a dress off Depop and the person who sold it has probably been shagged in it twice. Do you know what I mean? And I'd rather go to a nice little charity shop somewhere.
Well, I always think they're going to have moths, and they are.
Yeah.
They're going to have moths. And if it's really vintage, they're all too short in the waist for me, so I can't wear anything
and
anymore.
And too tight around the
bust. Yeah. And rib. Yeah. Forget about it. It doesn't suit me.
Yeah. So you then came to London, and then I have to talk to you about the dress, the Versace dress. I mean, would you say it was the thing that set you on a path, wearing that dress and reading the newspapers and suddenly finding yourself on the cover of every tabloid and broadsheet probably wearing that dress?
Yes. It's quite strange because apparently my dress had a birthday. I didn't know.
Yes, 25 years.
And we kept getting these really weird emails into the office about the dress's birthday. We're like, what is wrong with you all? But yes, well, it's a very strange thing. I mean, it's not something that I particularly understand. But yes, I guess as far as fashion goes, apparently it was because up until that time, people weren't being very dressy.
Yeah.
And it was a time when everyone was sort of walking around in baggy Armani suits. So at the time, apparently, it was quite unusual to wear something so sort of out there. But of course, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't have any clothes, really.
Yeah, it was just a sort of happy accident.
It was a happy accident.
Mm.
But what was very nice about that for me is that it started a very nice relationship with me, with Versace, who are still in my life. And they've been fantastic to me over the years. I mean, I've got thousands of Versace things, and they've made me lots of things. They used to make me stuff for movies. They made all my wedding stuff. Mm. They made my 16 attendance costumes. I mean, they were great.
Mm.
They were really great.
I mean, I still think that they make the best dresses for women. For women.
Depends on the body. It depends on the body.
I think it depends on the...
Charlie used to always say he cut for boys with breasts.
Yeah.
So you have to be small-hipped and
yeah,
little.
They just, the way their fabrics fall over a woman's body, you know, they're streets ahead of other designers, I think, when it comes to evening dresses. You know, I look at Versace and I want every single one, whether I could fit into it or it would suit me, I don't know, but I just have such admiration for the way they're cut and the fabrics, and they're so refined.
Well, my sensibilities were the same as theirs. Mm. It's what I liked. It's quite Amazonian.
Yeah.
I quite like that. But it's not for everyone.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people prefer more, you know, more of a French look, more waisted. But yeah. I don't have that body, so I can never wear it.
Yeah. Wasn't it on The Simpsons? Wasn't it in an episode of The Simpsons, your Versace dress, safety pin dress?
I don't know that. You might have been.
You see, it's the irony is that Elizabeth Hurley literally has no interest in clothes.
Well, I mean, I have a very nice wardrobe now.
Yeah.
In my new house in the country. I didn't. All my clothes were shoved in the old house.
Mm.
I could never find anything, which is probably why I started to wear the same things every single day, which, of course, I still do a bit. Mm. But when I bought my new house in the country, I treated myself and I turned one very large bedroom into one very large dressing room.
Mm.
For the first time in my life, I can see my clothes.
Yeah.
And it's, to be honest, it's spectacular. I still only wear that many things.
Yeah.
But it looks really, really smart. I mean, I say that, it's actually a mess because I never seem to be able to say no to anyone getting rid of anything, not clothes, but things. So my ex decided he didn't want his enormous Pilates bed anymore.
Mm.
And I said, wow, you can't throw it away. Mm. Okay, I'll have it.
Hoarder.
So that's now in the middle of my dressing room.
You are a hoarder.
Piled with other stuff that I just can't quite get rid of. So it still looks messy in there. In fact, Trini came around and, of course, like everyone should be very jealous of the space, but just astounded at the mess.
Mm.
But were it tidy, I mean, it's divine.
Yeah.
Really nice. I can see everything. Though I still have junk rooms upstairs.
It does make a big difference. I mean, I have, Trini came when we first moved into our house in Sussex. My clothes were and still are in a cellar, and Trini came down to have a look. And you walk in and there's like a kind of flurry of moths that come out. That's number one. And then number two, there are like frogs because it's very damp down there. So there are frogs everywhere. She nearly had a heart attack. But I do now, I have sorted them out and they are in bags and it has been
I've still got something of yours.
Have you really?
Yeah. I've got a velvet coat you lent me when I was pregnant.
Really?
And I never gave it back. It's sort of maroon colour.
Oh, I get into
I know
it
where
now.
It is. It's upstairs.
Really?
It's not really a coat. It's more like a wrappy sort of coat.
Okay.
And it was the only thing I had. I didn't have any pregnancy clothes because I was so followed when I was pregnant. I never left the house.
Yeah.
So I didn't have any. I only had cast offs from other people.
Yeah.
Thank you for your coat.
That's all right.
Because I must have worn it 100 times. Yeah. Anyway, I've still got it.
Well, I'm very pleased it's got a happy home. That's all I can say. I
feel ashamed every
one.
Time I see it.
Oh, no,
I'm
don't
like,
be silly.
I give it back to Susanna.
Don't be silly. When you were modelling, it was more beauty, wasn't it? So you had your Estee Lauder relationship.
Well, I really never had that job.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd been acting for
You've been doing
done years.
More acting than you have modelling.
Well, yeah, I'd acted from 21 to 29. And then bizarrely, out of the blue, got offered the Estee Lauder job. I'd never had a modelling job in my life.
So everything was really from that. And of course, I still have it.
Mm.
So I'm 24 years into my contract, which has been
extraordinary.
The most extraordinary stroke of luck, really, ever. So I've never really had any other jobs from that. So all the editorial I shot would be for promoting movies, which, of course, in a way segues into modelling, but, of course, you're not really getting paid for it.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I've done a few
Well, you
things.
Do fashion shoots. You're not
I've never done editorial
model.
As a model.
Yeah.
No, I never.
No.
I've never done a catwalk show.
Isn't
and that? I have done a handful of advertising jobs. For years and years, I couldn't do any others because my contract was completely exclusive. Then a few categories opened up. So I did a few other things,
yeah.
but not really many
yeah.
because I never really needed to because I was doing my real job and had Estee Lauder, which is fab. And so Estee Lauder hired, you know, all the best photographers.
So who have you been photographed or who haven't you been photographed
by? I was
by?
Never photographed by Peter Lindbergh, who just died. And that was upsetting. I was never photographed by Herb Ritts.
He was amazing.
And he was amazing.
I actually was photographed by Herb Ritts,
oh.
but on a Fuji Instamatic camera. But
it's
it
okay.
still counts as far
it's,
as I'm concerned.
It 100%
counts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like the spin painting I did with Damien Hirst.
Mm.
I consider it a Damien Hirst.
Yeah, of course.
Even though, frankly, I was the one lobbing the painting. But I consider it his. So, you know, I mean, in the time when I was really working a lot, you know, I shot with fantastic people. You know, Mario, Patrick.
Mm.
Stephen Meisel a lot, Ellen von Unworth, Albert Watson. I mean,
Annie Leibovitz ever?
No.
No. She's more kind of portrait, isn't she?
Yeah, I like a little more fashion. Yeah. In fact, I just bought these fantastic books for a friend of mine who was selling off some of his library. I hadn't even gone through them yet. I literally got them out of the box 10 minutes before you arrived. And they're just a fantastic set of photographic books. I can't wait to get them home and have a look at them. Beautiful. I love fashion photography.
How much time do you spend down in Gloucestershire compared? What percentage?
Well, I've moved to Herefordshire.
Of course you have.
I'm nearly in Wales now.
Yeah, of course you have.
I mean, as much as I can.
Yeah.
I probably do 3 nights a week in London if I have to, but I might not if I can get away with it.
Mm.
So I've just decided, since I came back from America, I've decided to try and do a week on, a week off, but with the weekends going around the country one.
Yeah.
So that I just stay there for 10 days.
Do you have a lot of friends around there?
Not many.
So you like the isolation?
Well, my sister lives there.
Yeah.
My mother's just moved in with me, so she's there.
Yeah.
People come every weekend. And I mean, people like Henry, who I couldn't say is a neighbor because he lives 25 minutes away. But, you know, we consider that a neighbor because I live so far from everyone. So he's a really easy thing. Then I've probably got about another 4 friends who aren't that far.
Yeah.
When they're Gloucestershire, but they're not that far. But friends around the corner, I've got 2, but they're both insane. But yeah, I do actually have 2 friends who are 3 miles away.
So when you're travelling, my love, which you do a lot, is there any kind of one item of clothing, like the comfort blanket? Do you have something which is like a piece of clothing that you always take with you?
I have an obsession with my hand luggage.
Okay.
Which I obviously fly with as hand luggage, but I also use it every day of my life as my bag.
Okay.
So
what's in there?
My laptop,
yeah,
charger, makeup bag, and if I'm traveling, a few other bits. So my hand luggage. So something really terrible happened last year. I don't know if it became my obsession. I won't bore you with it. Have you become obsessed with people who can open your car by picking up the transmission of your?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Start to Google it.
Tell me.
Well,
it's probably because
have you not become obsessed with this? It's a horror. It's a real horror, and I was burnt very badly by it.
I have a keyless car, but I have to open it.
Well, unfortunately, people have transmitters, and when you come out of your car and you click it shut, they can pick up the signal of your transmitter, and they can open your car and drive off with them, or they can open your car and take anything out of your car. And even if you put your keys on your hall table, they can still pick up the transmission of your...
You are
from outside
kidding.
Your door, and they can open your car and either steal it or take things out of it. So to counteract that, you might be okay with your brand new car. You have to Google it and see.
Yeah.
You know, the car manufacturers keep coming up with more
technology,
which the thieves obviously catch on to pretty quickly. So last year, with my last car, I'd parked my car at one of those, big service stations, the food court things, and went inside, came back. Drove back home. Somebody had opened my car and taken my hand
luggage.
That was a horror. And then when we started Googling it, there are only 3 cars in the world that they couldn't transmit from.
Which are?
Brand new Range Rover.
Yeah.
And they were all made by Land Rover.
Okay.
But the previous year to that, they could get into.
Yeah.
So then you had to buy these funny little things. Which shielded, like when you have
a little condom
X-ray
for them.
No, it's like this little. It's called something. I can't remember what it's called. They're very cheap on Amazon, which you then have to quickly put your thing in so that nobody can transmit from it. And it's all that anyway. So I did lose my hand luggage, now replaced, but I lost all my stuff in my hand luggage, and I felt like I had been pillaged really badly. So yes, I suppose my comfort is my hand luggage, which never leaves my side or my hand.
And what do you have in your makeup bag?
Well, makeup's very easy for me because obviously
Estee Lauder
I'm under contract. So I have, makeup was easy, but my brushes, which I'd saved over the years, and your favourite this and favourite that, then of course that's irreplaceable. Who cares? It's only makeup. It's quite annoying putting your makeup kit back together and really annoying not having your brushes, your favourite brushes.
Yeah.
The only thing you can blend your eyeshadow with is quite annoying when you lose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still haven't really replaced them because they were old.
I tell you who
just
does
how I want
the
them.
Best makeup brushes, which I was
Bobby
lucky
Brown.
Enough to give. No, she's an Australian makeup artist called Ray Morris. And they are exquisite.
Oh.
Yeah, I just use my fingers, to be honest.
No, you don't.
So, okay, I want to talk to you about, you're always, you know, on Insta very cleverly and looking amazing again, always in your bikinis. What percentage of women our age buy bikinis still, do you think? I mean, I would not be seen dead in a bikini now.
What if you're by yourself in Cornwall on your balcony?
No.
I think most people still have a bikini, but if they're out publicly or, you know, with people around, they'd probably put a one piece on.
Yeah.
Or something. But I think home alone in your back garden, I'm sure most people, well, they'll wear their knickers, or I'm sure they put bikinis on. Don't they?
Do you think about that when you're designing? I mean, what age group do you think? I mean, obviously you do kids wear, but do you think, is your market kind of women, sort of mothers, well, and, or do you get younger women?
Yeah, no, we get a lot of younger women who'll go for skimpy bikinis and hot panty things. And then we have lots of caftans that always cover the bottom, cover the arms, obviously covering the tummy. So I think probably is one gets older, one might either wear one piece or a bikini, but you pretty much want something to whip on. Most people are fine lying down.
Yeah.
But then when they stand up, most people want to cover up, but I think, including me, by the way. I like to cover up a lot. I certainly wouldn't walk around a public beach parading in a bikini anymore. I'm much too old. But privately, of course.
But I think all you need is, I was having this discussion with someone else actually, and I think if you've got all you need to wear with a bikini and to get away with it at any age is confidence. So you go to somewhere like Rio and you're on Copacabana Beach. And
everyone's in a bikini.
They're all in a bikini.
Of any size and shape.
All size, and they all look fucking amazing.
I agree.
Because they've got the balls to wear them.
I agree.
And then if you've got the balls and you strut around like you are a supermodel or, you know, Dita Von Teese or whoever, they look fab.
Yeah, and also what I've noticed on vacation is that at the beginning, some people can feel a little self-conscious at the beginning. The minute they've got a bit of a tan and they've relaxed, everyone's fine. They're all in bikinis and they're all absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think people judge you harshly anyway, to be honest.
No, because
we judge ourselves
harshly. Exactly, they're too busy judging themselves.
They're not really interested.
Yeah.
So to be honest, I think when I've been on vacation in the last few years, yes, you see some one pieces, and one pieces, of course, you also see one pieces on very young girls now because they're very fashionable, cut out and sexy. But pretty much everyone wears a bikini still. But they're just whipping on a sarong or something, which is fair.
Yeah. I'm just going to say we've got some building work going on outside, so hence the scaffolding.
We're in London.
We're in London.
How could there not be building
work
outside?
We're in London. You know, you don't dress yourself when you've got big events. Have you ever had a wardrobe malfunction? You must have done.
I've never had a strap breaking or anything, but I've had a few shoe malfunctions.
Okay.
My worst one was opening the Amelie Cruces Fate. And for some reason, it's when I just moved to the country and the organisers had sort of done a press call. So there were masses of national press, not just, you know, local thing. So there are a lot of people there. And, you know, had I taken a note from the royal family, I would have worn wedges, but I didn't. I wore heels. And I remember walking out in
classic
my dress with son, dog, Arun at the time, my husband, and the vicar. We all stood there, big bank of press. And then when I took a few steps, my heel got completely stuck right down in the ground. And I thought, I can't bend down with all this press there. So I had to say to the vicar, my heel's stuck. So the poor vicar had to get down. And you know what it's, well, you wouldn't, but when your heel's stuck, someone has to get down, but your shoe's still in the heel because it's strapped in, and literally pull your foot out like that. So that was a humiliating thing. Funnily enough, the next year at that very same fete, there's probably the most unflattering paparazzi picture ever. Well, funnily enough, I'm in your dress, okay. ever. It was the same fete again where I'd come back, probably in wedges this time. And I was wearing, do you remember the yellow dress you and Trini designed? Which I lived
in.
Really beautiful. Copied from a Prada one, I think. It was my favourite dress. I actually wore it to speech day at Wellington last year. But I wore it to this fete. And again, I was, you know, feeling full of myself. And I fell down some steps. And if you Google those pictures of me falling down these steps, you've never, ever seen anything. It's like a comedy fall. Caught at the end, but there's legs, there's hair, there's knickers, there's you name it. But no, you see, because for dresses, when you're dressed by somebody else, you know, they're standing there for so long gluing you and sewing you and doing all that stuff. I've never had a dress fall off.
No, but that's a major wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, well, I wore a sari once and I hadn't realised it was so see-through. Mm. And when you wear a sari, you have what they call a petticoat underneath it. And you have to tie something. Yeah, you have a skirt underneath it. And you have to... And they're elasticated. Well, for some reason, there wasn't any elastic in mine, so I tied something round it, really, like a hideous old black ribbon or something that I picked up. And through the sari, it's so ugly. You could Google that too. That's unattractive. And it was see-through at the top, which I also didn't know, which is a terrible sin.
Is there anything that you have that you would never want to get rid of?
Well, I've got everything that I've worn since the 90s, possibly 80s. Yeah, I guess there must be certain dresses that I wouldn't want anybody else to wear. Mm. So, you know, when the kids are doing dress-ups, they're allowed to touch some things, but they're definitely not allowed to touch certain things. But I don't think I'm really attached to one thing. I mean, no, I mean, I have memories with dresses, for sure. Mm. But I don't know if I'd have them had there not been so many photographs at the time, which keep popping up again and again and again. But yes, there would be certain dresses, all of which are in the attic somewhere, that I suppose they mean something to me a bit.
Mm.
And I've got a few, you know, like the first expensive bag that I would have ever been able to afford to buy in the 80s or 90s. I've still got those. And yes, I would never throw those away. Mm. Like, I remember there's a little Fendi black bag, which is very special to me at the time. Yeah, that's something special, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it's something really when you're young and saving up. Those are the things that still mean a lot to you because you remember the thrill of getting them. It was like, you know, when we got our first expensive moisturiser. I remember mine was Clinique's Dramatically Different Moisturiser.
Exactly.
And it was expensive.
Yellow, wasn't it?
With a pump.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was really, really expensive. So I really valued that a lot. So every time I see Dramatically Different Clinique Moisturiser, I can smell it now. It gives me a warm thrill.
Yeah, I hate that smell because I used it at boarding school and I'm so homesick at boarding school.
So you remember?
And then they had the tonic, which was like paint stripper. Do you remember?
I do, because you used to...
Yeah.
Used to buy the three.
And you'd go like this in the size of your nose for blackheads and it would sort of come away. It would take off five layers of your skin.
We don't use toner anymore, do we?
No. Flannel. What do you, this is a genuine question because I need to get some good eye makeup remover. What do you use?
I use the moist towel things. And Estee Lauder do a lovely one. I can't remember what it's called. It might be called Wipe Away. I can't remember what it's called.
And it takes everything off. They're not oily. It
takes everything off. No oil. No oil in it at all.
Yeah.
Unless do you use waterproof mascara?
I do. Yeah, I do now only because I've got that age thing of sort of getting weepy eyes sometimes. And then, I mean, I don't really wear much mascara.
MAC do a very good towelette too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. I prefer the Estee Lauder one, but the MAC one's very good as well.
Yeah.
I use those.
So I just find, I hate it when your eye, you use it and it becomes all filmy.
I haven't used eye makeup remover onto a piece of cotton wool for years. I like the towelettes.
Okay, towelette. So I need to get some towelettes.
Towelettes, yeah. The MAC
nice
one is a big,
towelettes.
Thick, hefty one.
Okay, going back to the dress that you love the most or something, is there any, like, dress that you wore that you would like to be remembered for? The one that you feel most proud of wearing when you felt the best?
One dress I had, which I have still, which was gold.
Mm.
And it was... had these huge paillettes on it, pinks and gold, very low back. And I walked to some premiere. That was a really beautiful dress. Mm. I was very slim at the time, Versace.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite dresses, probably. I mean, my wedding dresses were beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so many because I had my Indian wedding.
So many bloody weddings, for God's sake.
So my English dress was absolutely beautiful. And my Indian wedding dress was beautiful. And then I had four other dresses in India and they were all beautiful. I've got them all still. They were beautiful. Jenny Packham did one, Cavalli did one, Dior did one. And then the two main dresses were Versace, the beautiful.
Yeah, timeless.
Timeless.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You know what? I've lost my wedding dress.
How could you lose it?
I've got no idea where it is. And it was the most exquisite dress. And both Esme and Cece are saying, we want to wear your wedding dress, Mum. And I'm like, yeah, you must. No idea where it is. And it was so beautiful. I had this fabric specially made and it looked like it was like...
You must have it. It must be in your froggy cellar.
Is. I don't know where the hell it is. I've looked for it and it was couture and it was so beautifully
made. Which house did you last have it at? Have you ever seen it again since your wedding?
No, I can't remember where it is. I have no idea. It's terrible. It will turn up, I'm sure. But it's probably screwed up in a ball, kind of gathering
moth. Mine's in a box, but I haven't opened the box for 10 years.
I just don't want to see. If I knew where it was, I probably wouldn't want to open the box because I'd be so distraught by the damage. I mean, that is. I feel so bad about that, that I've had so little regard for a lot of the lovely clothes I've had.
We've been so busy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more organised today than I probably have been for the last 20 years because I finally have more time.
Yeah.
But when we're busy and frantic, we're too busy to do anything.
Yeah.
I have no organisation.
Mm.
Just boxes and boxes. And I think probably like me living in the country, do you have outhouses just full of boxes of admin?
Crap.
Which one day you'll go through.
Elizabeth, who do you most admire now or from the past?
Well, I think Elle Macpherson dresses very well.
Mm-hmm.
She looks fantastic, but she is 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And very thin.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful hair.
Mm-hmm.
She looks...
Her extensions.
She's dressed beautifully, very stylish. Mm. Every time I see her, I wish I were wearing what she were wearing.
Mm.
In the past, I mean, not that I would want to dress like that myself, but it's hard for me to see a picture of Jackie Kennedy and not think she looks astonishingly fabulous.
Mm.
And Marilyn looked fabulous. But then it's that 50s, 60s stuff we all love and covered, but don't really want to wear. But I guess they're very elegant ladies.
Mm. And ageing, how do you feel about ageing?
You know, to be honest, I don't really think too much about it.
Mm.
But, you know, I think we do what we can. You know, we try and stay relatively active, be as healthy as we can inside, look after our skin, look after our hair. Your hair's better than mine.
Your skin's better than mine.
Oh, I had a lot of Estee Lauder. Thank you. I mean, you just have to look after yourself. Mm. But, I mean, health, really, I mean... I'm beginning to know more and more people my age who've died or who are sick. It's a tough age, 50s, for sickness. You have to really look after yourself. You have to look after our health. We have to.
Yeah.
And obviously we should start doing it younger too. But...
You know, I've never had a medical. God, I'm sort of
have
not...
Have you had a mammogram?
I've had a mammogram, yeah. And I've had, you know, sort of heart things. My family has a propensity to... Heart
covered.
Disease.
Colon?
No.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain tests that certainly one should have done.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what a medical means.
No.
Because when you go to various doctors, your gynecologist or something, they're doing various, taking your blood pressure anyway, and they're taking this, that, and that.
I mean, I think that's what's important, is the blood pressure is the most important, isn't it?
Well, there's probably a few other things, but yeah, blood pressure is important. Yes, it is.
But I do think...
And your cholesterol's important.
Yeah, that I deal
with. To do a blood test. Yeah, but you do that for your heart.
Yeah.
Mammograms are vital.
Exercise. Do you exercise? You don't exercise, really, do you? You're just running around.
I just run around, yeah.
Yeah.
I swam a lot in LA.
Yeah.
I walk a lot in the country. I walked here today.
For the record, about 5 minutes, so don't sound too proud about it.
I'd say maybe 10.
Okay, so what's the best bit of beauty advice you've ever been given, do you think?
Well, my grandmother told me to always sleep with the window open.
Mm.
Otherwise, you look pasty. She added, like the Germans, but that was probably just her her age, two wars and all that. But I think sleeping with the window open is one of the most important things you can do, and not having a hot room.
Mm. I agree.
Pile on the blankets.
Because you don't cook overnight. Your skin doesn't cook
overnight.
That's
terrible for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Air conditioning's pretty bad for you too.
Yeah.
I think. Pick off your lungs.
Mm. Oh, my love. Well, listen, got a little present for you, which I think, ironically, and by pure accident, is going to prevent those techno car robbers.
Wonderful.
It's going to help anyway.
Oh, look at that.
And I know
that's
you'll
exactly
use
what
them.
I want.
Some black
and
white
some.
Furry dice to hang from your car. Mirror, rear view mirror.
I love them.
And you will use them, I know you will.
They're heaven.
Aren't they amazing?
With a suction. I like a suction.
Mm.
Yeah, they're excellent. Thank you very much.
Such a pleasure. You've been amazing. Thank you so much,
my
darling.
Thank you, Susanna.
Oh, my goodness. It's quite extraordinary to be in the presence of such beauty. And I'm sure she felt the same. So thank you to Elizabeth for being open-hearted, open-minded, and amazing. And now it's just us. We're in the pajama party section. The part where you tell us about your clothing disasters. We love what we've heard so far. So please keep sending them in. You can do it through the mywardmal.com website or by email, which is help@mywardmal.com
or by tweeting us, or leaving comments on Facebook or Instagram, all at My Ward Mel.
Oh, hello. Is that Susanna?
Yes, Sarah Reed.
Yes, hello.
Copyright 2019 for your marvellous last night poem.
Right.
Oh, it's so fantastic. But I'd love you to tell me about your wardrobe malfunction.
Well, I was at a dinner and I thought I looked rather nice. Mm-hmm. And shortly after I sat down, I noticed that something was feeling a little bit awkward. Mm-hmm. And basically, I realised that part of my bra had broken and everything had dropped forward and my dress was quite transparent.
Oh, Sarah.
But I did have a shawl, so it's the shawl that was the saviour.
Oh, my
goodness.
So
I just draped the shawl round, and then because the dress was a bit tight, then the underarm zip went, which is why I had the gap then. But it worked out all right in the end.
Oh, my goodness. That is. And did anyone see?
I didn't think so. No, people were too interested in talking amongst themselves to really notice what I was doing. And it's not as if my breasts fell out onto the table or anything like that. They fell within my dress.
Oh, probably.
If you see what I mean.
Yeah.
If you looked, you would have seen them through the fabric.
Oh, you would have seen a nipple.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Radio Moscow, Radio Moscow.
Yes.
Oh, my. Do you mind me asking what cup size you are?
A 38. Double G.
Mm. Okay. That's a handful and a half. Well, you live to tell the tale.
Yes, I've survived it.
Have you got your poem with you, Sarah?
I have.
Oh, would you actually quickly read it out? Do you mind?
Last night. Last night, my chest fell out of my dress. It wasn't intended. My breasts weren't upended when I bended, but suspended on a shelf with struts, which supported where it ought to, all my bust. Called a balconette for the pertest breast yet, for cleavage with heavage, for hoist appeal, to steady the reveal. When suddenly the struts went, and I failed to prevent the descent of my chest as it dropped to my waist and then stopped. I felt rather robbed of their comforting fullness, bereft of breast, and as I drew breath, my nipples showed absolutely through my dress.
Oh, my God. You know what, Sarah? Victoria Wood would have been proud of that if she'd written it. It is absolutely fantastic. All right, my gorgeous. Well, listen, you take care and keep writing.
Yeah.
And hang on to your boobs. That's it for now. Catch up again very soon. And until then, wardrobe closed.